Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Glory be to God. You know, we've thought that, we've always thought and even tell each other sometime, you know, that when we get born again, things are going to be rosy. I mean, you know, things are just going to be perfect. We're not going to have any more trouble. We're not going to have any more persecution. You know, everything's going to be just wonderful. And that is the start. When we get born again, that's the start of a new life. It's a new life in Christ when we get born again. We get to start over. In God's eyes, we get to start over. But the thing is that it also, at that time, puts things into action. When we start that new life, things go into action. We start getting, because of our action of getting born again, we get a reaction. The action causes a reaction. And so things start going a different path. And things aren't always just rosy. You know, even though we think they're going to be, it just doesn't quite turn out that way. Well, let's read here in chapter 10 of Matthew. I did tell you Matthew, correct? Starting in verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. Whatever I tell you in your prayer closet, whatever I tell you, and together with you, one-on-one, speak in the light. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetop. He's talking about what you hear the Holy Spirit say, what you hear in God's Word, don't be keeping it to yourself. He says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Well, we won't dwell on that too much tonight. We can stop right there and just have a message. But we'll go on a little bit farther. I don't want to make anybody nervous tonight, you know. Of course, if you know that you're born again, it wouldn't make you nervous. Amen. If you're confident that you're born again. And are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So right there, being born again, starts a reaction. We're starting a different route when we get born again. When we confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men, He confesses us in heaven. We start a different journey at that point. And He says here that whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. See, you can't keep your Christianity. You can't keep your born again. You can't keep your new life hid under a basket. You can't keep it isolated. Because He says, you're going to confess me before men. You have to make it known. At some point, if you're a born again Christian, we're going to know it. We're going to know just where you are with the Lord. It's going to come out. The revelation of it is going to be revealed before men. And you can't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can't deny the things of God and say that you're born again. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't understand people that think that they have the label of Christians, and yet they deny parts of the Word. Well, I tell you what they are. They're just old dead people with the label of a Christian on them that's not real. If they deny the things of God or parts of the Word of God, they're living in deception and they're just religious beings. They're not Christians. They're not believers. Because if they believed the Word of God, it would be shown to others around them.
Amen.
See? I hate religion. I hate old dead religion that has the label of Christian on it. I don't have any use for it. I'm just going to settle it with you right now. I don't have any use for it. See, I don't have any use for these churches that say they're Christians, but yet you can't get them to admit anything. Some things in the Word of God. They deny things in the Word of God. They deny the truth in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Well, in Matthew 10:32, we're going to keep on here for just a little bit. Now we've always been told, now, you know, and it's true that He's the Prince of Peace. Amen? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And He does bring peace to our lives. He does bring peace. You know, He is the Prince of Peace. We walk in peace because of Him. He guides us into that peace. But look here what it says. Because this is almost contrary to that we know to be true. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Well, I thought we said that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. I thought that He brings peace, that He gives us the peace to walk in. Well, He does. But He also brings with Him a sword. Now, what is a sword in the Word of God? It is the Word of God. That's the sword that He's talking about. And see, we're not going to always agree with everyone that comes down the pike that has the label of a Christian. If you're going to make a stand on the Word of God and you're going to act like a Christian and you're going to say the things that's in the Word of God, it's not always going to go over well with everybody around you. I don't know if you know that yet or not, but it's not going to do it.
Amen.
It's not always going to go well with everybody.
Amen.
And some that you thought were friends are all of a sudden not going to be friends. They never were anyhow. I mean, what are you doing hooking up with non-Christians? Well, you're to set an example in the world of those that aren't born again that they may want what you got. See, you're going to have to provide them an answer.
Right.
Well, you're not going to be able to provide them an answer unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ and know what He stands for in His Word.
Amen.
See, you can't give them any answer. They already got all the world's answers that don't do them any good. See, you need to be able to give them something out of the Word of God that they can find reality in and get answers that they need to change their life. See? Well, he goes on here and he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household." He said, "I came to bring a sword, and it's going to divide mother from daughter, father from son, daughter-in-law from mother-in-law. It's going to divide everyone. My word, the sword that I bring, Jesus is the Word of God, and He brought the sword, the Word of God. He is the Word manifested here on earth." And He said, I came to bring a sword, and that's the Word of God. And the Word of God is going to divide. And you wonder why you can't get along. Everybody says, "I don't understand why all the churches can't get along." I've never said that. They ain't supposed to get along. Some of them don't believe the Word of God. And if they don't believe the Word of God, and your church believes the Word of God, you're not going to get along with them. You think you're going to convert them? That'd be like being born again and walking with God and trying to marry somebody that's not born again. What are you doing that? That's about as wrong as it can get. Well, I'm going to convert them after we're married, I think. Not. You're not going to have anything to do with their conversion. Probably you'll drive them farther away from Christ. Because you're living in one world and they're living in another. Well, it's the same way with the churches. One church can't marry another church because one's living with one set of rules and another with another set of rules. And only the one that lines up with the Word of God and believes the whole truth, the whole Word, is the only one that's right. And if the other one is not following that same route, then, hey, there's going to be friction. There's going to be division. And he said, I brought the Word of God, the sword, and you'll be divided. You won't necessarily get along all the time. You'll be divided. You'll not be jointly together. Let's take it on a little bit farther here. See, Jesus, he brought us the Word to live by. And if we're going to live by the Word, there are going to be those that don't live by the Word. And we're not going to be joined with them together. He goes on and he says, "He who," in verse 37, "he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Listen, if you love your mother, if you love your father, if you love your sister, if you love your brother, if you love your sons, if you love your daughters, if you really love them, you'll hate them first. Because you'll put God first and them second. If you really love them, you're going to put God first, them second, because how else are you going to be able to help them or bring them what they need if you don't go into God and get what they need to begin with? I know you love them, but he's talking about here about you loving God and His Word, that you take His Word first and you go in and get what they need out of the Word of God that they may have something to cling to. And if you can't deliver that to them, then you really don't love them. If you really love them, you'll go into God and get what is necessary to save them. Let's go on and take it a little bit farther. See, many people think that, well, I can take the Word of God and I can take out parts that I understand and parts that I like, and I can delete the rest of it. And I've seen many people that I thought that I respected, and found out that they were watering down the Word of God, that they were compromising it and walking in a compromised Word of God, and I lost all respect for them. See, you can't compromise the Word of God. You either believe the Word of God or you don't believe the Word of God. And if there's parts in there you don't understand, you have the Holy Spirit as your teacher to find out the truth and get the truth in the Word of God, that you may know what it means and be able to understand it. But many people on this earth today, many churches on this earth today are walking in a compromised Word of God. They've compromised the Word of God, and that's where they're walking. And it's wrong. You can't do that. You've got to walk in the truth. You've got to know the Word of God. You've got to know what it says, what it means, and walk in the truth that you know. Now, if you're not at the point where you haven't gained some truth in an area, it is your responsibility, because you've been given everything necessary to find it out, the truth about the Word of God in that area that you're lacking in. He's called the Holy Spirit. He came that you might know all truth. That's why the Holy Spirit came here on earth, to dwell with you and in you, is that you might know the truth, all the truth. Hallelujah. You say, well, how do I know when I've compromised the Word of God? How do I know when I'm compromising and walking a compromised life? Hey, how about this? How about the fact that you know that as a believer, you have the believer's call, that you're supposed to heal the sick, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils, and speak with other tongues. But yet, you don't want to admit that to certain groups that you're around of your so-called friends. You don't want to admit it because you're ashamed to let them know about it, because you might lose favor with them. Look out! You just compromised yourself. You're walking in a watered down truth. You don't even believe. You don't even know what to believe. If you did, you would stand your ground and say, I believe that I can lay hands on the sick, and when you're sick, I can lay hands on you and you're healed, and I believe that I can cast out devils by the power of the name of Jesus, and I believe in speaking in other tongues. Grow some backbone. I could say some other things, but I won't be that crude. Listen, you have a responsibility to not be compromised, to not walk in a compromised situation. It's your responsibility to know what to believe in the Word of God, the truth in the Word of God, and to walk in it and to stand for it. To not back off, even though you may be in a mixed crowd. Well, I don't want to cause any trouble, so I'm not going to say what I believe. Look out. If you compromise one thing, you'll compromise another thing. If you do it one day, you'll do it another day. See? We talked this morning about putting things out of your life, taking them captive to the obedience of Christ. How about that compromised walk that you're walking in? Wouldn't that be something that you need to take captive to the obedience of Christ and put it to death and take it out of your life? If we live by the flesh, we'll die by the flesh. If we live by the Spirit of God, we'll put to death the deeds of this body by the Spirit. You have an opportunity. You take that opportunity to say what the Word of God says, what He whispers in your ear. In the dark, you speak out in the light. What He whispers in your ear, you preach from the housetops. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, I believe it is. Yeah. So let's start. I got it down a different way, but let's start in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Chapter 4, verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We have this born-again man in an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God. That the power that we have. See, Paul is talking here. He talked about that all through Corinthians, about this treasure and this earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God. See.
and not of us. This is not of us. This power is not of us. It is of God. It's because of this born-again spirit that we have on the inside of us that we're able to obtain the things of God and walk in it. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Let's read verse 11 again. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. At some point, you've got to die to yourself. You got to do some dying at some point. You got to do some dying to the things of this world and the things that are bringing you down, that are holding you back. You've got to begin to die to them, that the life of Jesus, that Jesus may be manifested in your life, that it may be shown out to others around you. But it's going to take some dying to yourself, and your own feelings and your own emotions are going to have to be put aside. Yes, I know that He brought the Word of God, and I know it's going to divide each other. And those that don't agree with you, I know that they're going to turn out that they're not such good friends after all. But that's just a chance you're going to have to take, because it's worth it. It's worth it to show Jesus to the world. Hey, listen. When they see the truth and they see the power, they're going to come back around someday anyhow, especially when they need prayer. Amen. When they need for you to pray for them, they're going to come back around. Don't worry about it. And then you'll be able to minister. Why? Because you stood your ground. You held your ground and said, I'm not going to move off of what I know to be truth. You stood your ground. You didn't compromise. You said, I'm standing my ground and I'm not compromising. And we just picked one area. There could be other areas that you might be compromising in. But I know many people are ashamed that they speak in tongues. They don't want anybody to know it. Sure is quiet in this Baptist church. It's time to die to a few things. It's time to put away some childish beliefs. It's time to put away things that in the past that you were taught wrong. You're in a place now, you're in a church now that knows better and teaches that different. And teaches the truth in the Word of God. It's time to start standing for that truth while you're out there in the world. Yes, I speak in tongues. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I speak in tongues. I thought everybody spoke in tongues. Yeah, you don't? Would you like to? We could fix it today, right now, this minute.
Amen.
Oh, you haven't had hands laid on you? Oh, well, it's overdue.
Amen.
It's overdue. That may be why you act the way you do. Let me lay hands on you. It's time to quit compromising. It's time to start making a stand. Yes, young people, make a stand in your school. Say, well, I'll be ridiculed. They'll beat on me. Yeah, but you'll live.
Right.
Well, what if they kill me? You'll still live.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Be like Pastor Jaime Gomez down in Tarapoto when the terrorists took him captive, held a gun to his head, said, we're going to kill you. You're going to die. He said, no, I'm not going to die. You can shoot me and kill me, but I'll live. He didn't even hesitate. Hey, they can't do nothing to you. Make a stand. Quit compromising. Start getting some of that stuff out of your life. God is real. Heaven is real. The Word of God came, and yes, it's going to divide us from those that don't believe the same way, but who cares? Stand for truth.
Amen.
Make a stand. Start coming alive. Start taking part in what God is doing. Some of you are here, you've been here and you've been here, and you're not even taking part in what God is doing in the church today. It's time right now to start. There's a place for everybody to start doing something in the body of Christ. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We could have went on. We could have went on most of the night, but I just wanted to give you enough to chew on that maybe, you know, might just edge you off your seat just a little bit, you know. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're here today. You're here today and you know that you've not been making a stand. You know that you've not been making a stand for Christ. You know that you've not been doing what you know to do. I tell you what, let's do. Pastor David, could we move this kind of back in the corner here just a little bit? We're going to pray for everybody tonight. And we're going to do it a little bit different than what you all are used to me doing. And don't run over and hurt anybody. We're not ready for a healing line yet. That's good enough. I want everybody in the room to come up here. Come right up here. I'm going to pray for everybody. I want you just to, I don't want a line. I just want you to just gather around here. I just want you to gather around to me. I'm not even going to lay hands on anybody. Just gather up to me here. Form a U here. Form a U here. Everybody come up here. Yeah, form a horseshoe, whatever. Just everybody gather around here. Now lift your hands and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. And I want you right now, when I'm praying this prayer, I want you to search your heart, and I want you to ask yourself, have I done everything that I could do for Christ? Have I done everything that I knew to do? Have I stood? Have I stood for the Word? Have I stood on the Word? Have I stood for Christ? Have I made that stand? Have I compromised in any area? Father, I thank You right now for every person in this room. And Father, I ask that You forgive us right now for compromising in those areas, for compromising the Word of God, for compromising what we know that we're supposed to be standing for. Father, I just ask forgiveness for us all, Father. In the name of Jesus, wash every person in here clean. Wash every person clean. Every person in this room, wash them clean of this sin of compromising. Father, I thank You right now that You're giving us the courage right now where we stand. You're giving each one the courage to stand, to make a stand, and to not let up, but to make a stand and stand solid for the Word of God, regardless of the consequences, regardless of how people look at us, how people think of us, that we make the stand, Father. I thank You for that courage. I thank You for that strength. I thank You for that peace that causes us to stand. Father, in Jesus' name, every person in here, Father, every person in here, every person in here, in Jesus' name, every person in here, Father, in Jesus' name, the strength to stand, Father, to stand, in Jesus' name, to stand solid, Father, every person in here, to stand, Father, in Jesus' name, to stand, Father. to stand, to make that stand in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, to make that stand, Father. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, to make that stand and to not weaken from it, Father. To not weaken from it, Father. And to not compromise. Every person in here, Father, I ask that you touch them right now with your Holy Spirit. Touch them with that anointing, Father, from the top of their heads to the bottom of their feet. Strengthen them in every area that they might make a stand, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now just receive it right now. Receive what is spoken. And if there's some area you know that you've compromised, just simply ask Him, Lord Jesus, forgive me for this here. And tell Him what it is. Forgive me for not making that stand, for not standing for You, Lord Jesus. Just ask His forgiveness and immediately...